All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, thank you to Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday and beginning Baruch Hashem, the new parak. We are picking up on the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, literally the first word, Rava Amar. So our shir this morning is dedicated by Natan and Leah Berry in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Leah's father, Eliezer Avram Tzvi Ben Pesach Yolei. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So remember, we are picking up from the sugya of yesterday, where the Gemara began with a very simple question. The idea, the Gemara explains, that in general, for any lav, we generally want to have two different psukim. One that is an azhara, one that is a warning, and one that has the onesh, one that contains the punishment. So the Gemara is dealing with the issue of shkutei chutz, of gogin and shechtin karbanos outside. So the Gemara says, we find the onesh, but where is the azhara? So we're looking now again for the azhara for shechita. So Rava says, Rava Amar, Rava said literally top of Kuf Zayin, Rava Amar, Kid Rabbi Yona, Dam Rabbi Yona, Asya Sham Sham. Rava says, Rabbi Yona says, Make gzer shavav sham sham, malahalon lo anash ala imkein his here. We'll say just like again, by hakrava, by offering up the carbon outside. So again, there is no onesh without the azhara, or is that there is a azhara present. Afkan so too by shchita lo anash ala imkein his here. So too again, we'll say by the case of shchita. So therefore again, there's also no onesh without the azhara. So we'll say interestingly enough, the Gemara over here is learning out the Azhara from the nature, from the Gzeira Shava itself. Ashkechan muktare pnim she'elon l'chutz. So now, I understand case of an animal, of a carbon, that was shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, that ultimately was offered up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Muktare chutz she'elon l'chutz minayin. We'll say, how do I know that there's a prohibition ultimately to go ahead and offer up that which was shechted outside, to offer it up outside? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. This is the third line down in Rashi from the top. Ashkechan muktari bifnim she'elon b'chutz. Shchutei pnim shayu omdim lahaktiran bifnim. We'll say, if I have karbanos that were shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, that should have been offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash, ve'elon b'chutz chayv. And you offer them up outside, I understand that you're chayv. Kidichsiv ba'lo, dal pesach o amoy lo yivienu. So the idea of going ahead and taking a carbon that was shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash should have been offered up inside the Beis HaMikdash, but it was subsequently offered up outside the Beis HaMikdash. I understand that that is asur. However, again, look at next Rashi. Muktari chutz, shechutei chutz, sha'omdim likater b'chutz lo b'fnim. So this is actually very interesting. So as the Gemara says is as follows. How do I know that now a carbon that was shechted outside, that there's also a prohibition to go ahead and offer it up outside as well? So that's the Gemara says, Muktari chutz shehelon l'chutz minayin. Amrav kana amrakra. So the Pasuk of Rabosei says, Va'alehem tomar. Va'alehem tomar. So Rabosei, the rest of that Pasuk is, Ish ish mi beis yisrael min ager asher yagur besocham, asher ya'ale ola ozavach. Ala smuchin tomar. So Rabosei, so therefore again, the Gemara understands, Va'alehem tomar. This pasuk is juxtaposed to ultimately the one that comes before it. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Baleim tomar zetchilas parshas ha'aloh. So we'll say this is the beginning of the parsha of ultimately offering up the karbanos. Usmucha leparshas shchutei chutz, and it is juxtaposed to the parsha of the prohibition of shechting karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'amar shim he'elu b'chutz chayiv baleim kirin. To teach me that what? That if the karban was offered up outside, ultimately again one is chayiv for that. So the Gemara says, maskif le'rava. Rava says, here's the problem, we're saying, miksiv va'alehem. Does it say and upon them? Ve'elehem ksib. It says and to them. So we'll say, see, the idea the Gemara is trying to darshan over here is va'alehem. The Gemara was trying to go ahead and darshan the juxtaposition. The only problem is that would work if the word was written with an ayin, but the word is written with an aleph. Elekitan de Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, again, as they taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, va'alehem tomar la'arif parshios. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the ve'alehem tomar, and to them you will say, the Rabbi will say, so ultimately what we're really going ahead is focusing on the vav, not as much the word alehem, but ultimately, again, the vav, and the vav, look at Rashi for just a moment, elekid etan Rabbi Shmuel va'alehem tomar la'arif parshios, vav, mosif al-inyan rishon, the vav ultimately, Rabbi says, the vav ha-mosif, which ultimately connects the two juxtaposed portions. Uma'arif ha-parashios lomar, shav shchutei chutz shalon b'chutz chayiv. Therefore, the vav, Rabbi says, comes to go ahead and juxtapose the two sections to tell you that just as it is usher to go ahead and shecht a carbon inside and offer it up outside, so too it is usher if a person goes ahead and what? Shechts it outside and offers it up outside as well. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. We'll say again, back to the original discussion. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asya Havo Havo. Rabbi Yochanan says, make a gzer shava of Havo Havo. What does this mean? Malahalon muktari chutz. Just like Rabbi Yochanan over there, we're talking about a situation where the carbon is offered up outside, shechted outside, afkan muktari chutz. So Tovir is talking about a case where the carbon was shechted outside. Maskev l'Rabibi, I Rabibi says, hadisnan shloshim b'sheish krisos b'torah. So let's remember again, so Rabibi says, the Mishnah teaches us that there are 36 instances of kares in the Torah. The problem is, Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going to say that shechting a carbon outside and offering it up outside is aser. So you must say, up until now, see, I want to show you something very interesting, which is the Gemara is suggesting over here that a carbon that is shechted outside, there's an issue of also offering it up outside. Now, I understand when you shecht a carbon inside the Beis HaMikdash, there's a prohibition to offer it up outside the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because that carbon has a chalos shein carbon because it was offered up or shechted on the inside. The novelty that the Gemara is advancing now is that even a carbon which was initially shechted outside is going to have a prohibition to offer it up outside. If that's the case, says the Gemara, then there really aren't 36 issues of kares, but in fact there are 37 situations of kares. Because I must say, this last case of a carbon being shechted outside and also being prohibited to be offered up outside is a new addition, to which the Gemara says, Tlasin b'shev habyon, Ika hamale v'hamale. Both say, again, because you have two cases. You have the case of shchutei pnim and the case of shchutei chutz, to which the Gemara says, kasha. Indeed, that is a question. V'hodisnan, but yet that which we learned, hazorik miktsas damim v'chutz chayiv. Both say, now listen to this case. So we're transitioning a little bit over here. So both say, what about the following situation? What if you throw some of the blood, you do some of the zrika outside? So we'll say, in this case over here, you're doing some of the zrika inside and some of the zrika outside. So what's talocha? Chayif. Ultimately, again, one is chayif for such an act. So it says the Gemara Minalan, where do we know that from? Nafkalei midisanya. We learn it out from the following pasuk. Dam yichoshev. So we'll say, the pasuk over here is, V'al Pesach o'al mo'ilo heviu, lakrif karban la'ashem, lifnei mishkan Hashem. So this is talking about, again, person who performed sacrificial service outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's ta'alocha? Dam yechoshev la'ish hahu, dam shafach. Ultimately, again, literally, there'll be an iniquity for this person. Dam yechoshev, dam shafach, he spilled blood. V'nichras ha'isho mikarav amo. So watch this. Dam yechoshev. What's the meaning of that phrase, dam yechoshev? The Rambos Hazorik. We'll say this comes to include a person who even does a partial zrika outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Div Rabbi Shma. These words Rabbi Shma. Rabbi Kiva Omer. O Zavach. The Rambos as Hazorik. Rabbi Kiva Rabbi learns it out separately. He says from the phrase of O Zavach. We'll say that's the pasuk. The Aleim Tomar Ish Ish Mi Beis Yisrael. Uminagir Asher Yagur B'Socham Asher Ya'ala Ola O Zavach. So also in Rabbi Akiva's model, that last phrase, O Zavach, which is extra. What does O Zavach come to teach me? That even if you sprinkle some blood outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you'll be chayv. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva are both agreeing. What are they agreeing about? That if you do a partial zrika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you are chayv for that. What do they disagree about? What is the source for that particular halacha? So ultimately, again, Rabbi Shmuel learns out from Dam Yechashev, Rabbi Akiva learns out from O Zavach. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Hai O Zavach, my Avid Lei. So we'll say again, so what does Rabbi Shmuel do with this phrase, O Zavach? In other words, if he's not using it ultimately to teach me about Zrika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so what does he come to use it for? My Avid Lei, Lechalik. We'll say, it comes to distinguish. Now, what does this mean? If you look at Rashi, it's the second wide line in Rashi, the Chalik, to Lotema Ademasik Ola Ushlamim. So we'll say, remember again, because the Psukim over here are talking about Ola and Shlamim together, I might have thought that I would only be Chayiv if I perform both an Ola and the Shlamim outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Kamash Malon, though, Ozava comes to say that even if you just do one of these items outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Rabbi Akiva, lechalik minolei. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn out this halacha? lechalik nafkalei milo yivienu. Let's say he learns out from the phrase, ultimately, again, of Lov Yivienu. Rashi says, you shall not bring it, mashmachad. It means even one of them. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, and what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that pasuk of Lov Yivienu? Homi baile, ala shalim hu chayev, ve'enu chayev ala chaser. So Rabbi Shmuel uses Lov Yivienu to teach us that you're only chayev. If what? You're only chayev if you go ahead and you offer up a shalim, but not if you offer up a chaser. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So we'll say this is Rashi. It's the last word on the line, the second wide line. Ve'eino chayev al chaser. Lekaman pligiba ikalaman damer al iver chaser ve'ikalaman damer al behema chasera ad shiala kol abehema ve'ikalaman damer al aktara chaser. So we'll say we're actually going to see this machlokas later on, but as we're going to see, there's an interesting machlokas regarding the general prohibition of shchut echutz. If you offer up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, are you only chayiv if you offer up a complete animal, or even if it's chaser? So we're going to see, this is going to be the subject of a major machlokas. So as I saw, ultimately, again, the Gemara suggests that Rabbi Shmuel uses this lo yivienu to teach you that you're only chayiv for offering up a shalim, not chayiv for offering up a chaser. Rabbi Akiva, where does Rabbi Akiva learn this out from? Nafkalei milasos oso. Rabbi Kibos learns this out from the phrase la'asos oso, and Rashi says oso means shalim mashma. Oso means the animal must be fully intact. Good. Rabbi Yishmael, chad l'muktari pnim, shechasru v'ha'alu b'chutz, v'chad l'muktari chutz, shechasru v'ha'alu b'chutz. And I will say, Rabbi Yishmael says, actually, both the psukim are necessary. One is to teach you, ultimately, again, for those kabanos which were shechted inside, and ultimately offered up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and was to teach you for those kabanos that were shechted outside and offered up outside. Then in both of these cases, you will only be chayiv if what? If you go out and you offer up a fully intact animal, but if the animal is chaser, you will not be chayiv. I v'hotanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, yochum muktari pnim shechasru v'helu v'chutz chayiv. B'rabos, what about the following braisa? Rabbi Shmuel says, I might have thought that if you have a carbon that was shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, shechasru, and then the animal becomes deficient, v'helu v'chutz, and then it was offered up outside of the Beis HaMikdash, I might have thought that you would be chayiv. Talmud lomar, la'asos oso. Ala shalim chayiv, ve'inu chayiv ala chaser. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says, la'asos oso, you shall perform it. So we'll say, oso, as Rashi said before, means shalim, means the animal must be complete. You're only chayiv for shchut echutz, or for halah b'chutz, if it's shalim, but not if it's chaser. Rabbi Akiva, muktari pnim, shechasru v'helu b'chutz chayiv. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Akiva will say, Rabbi Akiva said, Muktari Pnim Shechasru Velu B'chutz Chayiv. So what's Rabbi Akiva will say? That even those items that were offered up, shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, and then became Chaser, and you offered them up outside of the basement, they should be Chayiv. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, Rabbi Akiva, Hai Dami Chashev Mai Avile. But say, so what does Rabbi Akiva do with that phrase, Dami Chashev? So you understand what's happening over here? A little bit of like Talmudic ping pong. We're just going back and forth. For every drusha that one of them makes, the Gemara just wants to know what the other does with that particular pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva, what does he do with the phrase Dami Chashev? The Rabos Shchita Sofer. This is very interesting. So Rabbi Akiva uses that phrase of Dami Chashev to teach you that what? You're even chayiv for slaughtering a sacrificial bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, remember again, if you do Shchita on an oath for sacrificial purposes outside of Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Now, we'll say, now what's the novelty here? Right? So remember, we're going to the novelty of Bosei is there is no such thing as a bird offering that is shechted. Right? Bird offerings are always done how? Through Malika. Yet Rabbi Akiva is going to advance a very novel sheet, which actually is going to be Aloch Kalamaisa, that if you shecht a sacrificial bird, I should say, if you shecht a bird for sacrificial purposes outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv for Shchut Echutz, even though there is no such equivalent inside the Beis HaMikdash. An incredible sheet. So we're going to see. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Haidam Yechashe Mai Avile. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Do with the phrase "dami chashiv." He uses it l'rabos shchita sof. He comes. He uses it ultimately to teach me that what that halacha lemaisa I am chayiv even for going ahead and shechting a bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shmuel Now, so Rabbi Yosef, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yishmael agrees with this, but he learns that from a separate source. Nafgile me o asher yishchat. So Rabbi Yosef, he learns that from the phrase ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machane o asher yishchat mi chutz l'machane. So Rabbi Yosef, so again, this pasuk is also talking about shchutei chutz, but according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's an additional phrase. Because the pasuk says, if a person will go ahead and shecht, ashar, o kesef, o eiz, o asher yishchat michutz l'machaneh, or he will shecht outside of the camp. What's that extra o asher yishchat? Rabbi Yishmael learns that out to teach me that what? That if you shecht a bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayef for that as well. So we'll say the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Amr Lacha. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva do with that phrase, O Asher Yishchat? So the Gemara says, Amr Lacha, Haumi Baile, Ala Shochei Tu Chayiv, Velo Ala Molek. So we'll say, this is amazing. Rabbi Akiva said, we'll say, that interestingly enough, that phrase teaches me that for birds, the only liability is for Shechita. Meaning, if you were to do an act of Malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Akiva would actually say that what? You are not Chayiv for Shechutei Chutz. Only in acts. So we'll say you're this incredible like halachic anomaly. So a bird which is never subject to shechita inside the Beis HaMikdash, the only way, and everybody seems to agree with this, the only way you're going to be chayiv for shechutei chutz by a bird is how? Through shechita. If you do malika on a bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there in fact is no liability. In other words, that bird it's insignificant. It's an avela. It's nothing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Nafgale mizehadaver. Rabbi Shmuel learns that, I'll say ultimately again from the phrase zehadaver. So I'll say, interestingly enough, they're agreeing. See, here's what's fascinating. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel are agreeing. What are they agreeing on? That the only way you can have a case of shchutei chutz on a bird is how? Is if there's real shchita. They both agree that if you do malika on a bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that there's absolutely no liability because the act is profoundly meaningless. The only thing they're disagreeing upon is ultimately the source for this particular halacha, disanya. So as here we go, the Raisa says, this Raisa now is going to expound on this. Disanya, asher yishchat, if so we'll say, the pasuk says, asher yishchat, Ainli ala shochet behema. I only know that you're chayiv for shchutei chutz if you shecht the behema, you shecht an animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Shachat of minolan. We'll say first wide line, kovzayinim adalev. How do I know that if I shechted a bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that I'm going to be chayiv? Tam lomar, o asher yishchat. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, o asher yishchat, that phrase the Gemara understands is an extra extraneous phrase. O asher yishchat comes to include what? Even if you shecht a sacrificial bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will be chayiv. Yachol af hamolik. I would have thought that one should be chayiv for a malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well. We'll say, listen to this. And I can make, by the way, a very cogent argument. Here we go. Vidinu. We'll say, so this is the argument to say that you should be chayiv for malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll tell you, it's a kavachomer. Vidinu. Uma shchita de'in derech hechshera bifnim chayiv. So we'll say, listen to this. When it comes to shechita, now, so we'll say, let's go with the following argument. Let's say for a moment, we'll all agree that if you go out and you shecht the bird outside of the Beis HaMikdash for sacrificial purposes, that what? That should be chayiv. When it comes to shechita, Rabbi Yosei, which is not the normal sacrificial process for a bird inside of the Beis HaMikdash, but if you do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, everybody will agree that you're chayiv, then I can make the Kal V'chomer that what? Malika, shederech hechshera bifnim, Ainul din shu chayiv. The Rabbi say all the more. So again, fine. I'm good with this. That if you want to tell me I'm chayiv for shechting a bird out of the Beis HaMikdash, even though what shechita is not the manner of preparation for a sacrificial bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, yet you're chayiv if you do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then I would certainly say that's what that malika, which is the proper sacrificial process for the bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, I certainly should be chayiv for malika outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll say it's a powerful kal v'chomer, very convincing. Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says zehadavar. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says zehadavar, and zehadavar ultimately tells me that what. So look at Rashi. It's about seven lines up from the bottom in Rashi. So the Gemara says, Asher Tziva, V'samechle Asher Yishchot, Shchita V'lo Malika. So we'll say, juxtaposed to that pasuk, Asher Tziva, is the concept of Shchita, to teach you that juxtaposition teaches me that it's dafka for shchita that I'm chayiv and not from lika. So we'll say, this, by the way, this, you understand, is not a logical argument. This is just a scriptural argument. So it's really quite amazing, because again, logic would dictate that you would absolutely be chayiv for shchita, for malika in bachutz. You'd absolutely be chayiv, yet again, the nature of the judgment, so we'll say, is for a bird, you will only be chayiv for shchita, not malika. Incredible, incredible. Rabbi Akiva Amar Lecha, Rabbi Akiva will say, no, that's that I need for something else. So Rabbi Akiva will say, no, we need ultimately again that Zadavar, ultimately again for a different Gezeirah Shava. So we'll say, so again, I want to point out, even though Rabbi Akiva takes the pasuk, he doesn't disagree with Rabbi Shmuel from the halacha. Remember, again, they're both agreeing that halacha lemaisa, and I will say this is indeed halacha lemaisa, that you are only chayiv for shchita by shchut. I'm sorry, by shchutei chutz of a bird, you're only chayiv for shchita if you did malika on a bird outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So I will say, what have you done? What have you done? Well, what you've done is something. You've ruined a perfectly good bird, right? Because, you know, we'll say now, obviously it's not kosher, right? Because it's an avela, you can't do anything with it. But it's not. But the good news is you're not in violation of shchutei chutz as well. So we'll say, here we go. So the Gemara says, v'hadisnan, hakom, so we'll say now we're transitioning again. Hakomets, ba'mekabel dam. So we'll say, so first of all, again, just understand, that is halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, the only time you're chayav for shchutei chutz on a bird is if you did shchita. If you did malika, even for the intentions, ultimately, again, of sacrificial purposes, it is absolutely meaningless outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Next. V'had istana komitz v'amekabel dam b'chutz patr minah. And we'll say, listen to this. What happens if a person does kmitza? Kmitza, we'll say, which is the three fingerfuls of the flower. If you do kmitza, or Kabbalah's damim b'chutz. Or I'm about to say, for that matter, you do Kabbalah. I'm about to say, Kabbalah is the act of receiving sacrificial blood in a kli. If you did either of these things, ultimately outside of the Beis HaMikdash, how do we know that ultimately, again, you are potter? So the Gemara says, I don't understand, what's the havamina that a person should be chayiv for these things? Well, I'll tell you why. Tisi mishchita. Because it will say, I would have learned out these things ultimately again from Shechita. And I would have just said, just like Shechita, if you did it b'chutz, you would be chayiv. So to will say, Kometz, which is a part of Avoda, Kabbalah, which is a part of Avoda, you should also be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, no, you can't learn out from Shechita, and I'll tell you why. Ma'le Shechita shekein nifselas shelo le'ochlin b'pesach. So I will say, Shechita has its own peculiar pieces to it. In that what? In that halacha lemaisa, if you shech the Karban Pesach with the intention of people who are not registered for that particular chabura, the Shechita is invalid. So you see that Shechita has its own peculiar aspects to it. Therefore, he can't learn out from Shechita. Look at Rashi, I will say, Ma'le Shechita. It's about 5 lines up in Rashi. So the Gemara says, "Kigon lechola v'zakein shiniyochol lechol kizayis kidechsev ish lefiach lo tachosu." Tomer bekomets mincha delo shayich psu shalol leochlav. So we'll say shchita is unique. And that the shchita by Karban Pesach, if you shech to the Karban Pesach, it was saying you had in mind to do the shchita for people who are not fit to partake of the Karban, that invalidates the Karban. Such a psul doesn't apply to kmitza, and such a psul ultimately, again, does not apply to Kabbalah as well. Therefore, you can't learn out from Zrika. Okay, I can learn out Tisi Mizrika. Why don't I learn out from Zrika? It was saying, say, just like Zrika is possible outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so to what? So to Kmitza and Kabbalah should also be possible outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Can't do that either, and I'll tell you why. Mal Zrika, Shekin Zar Chayiv Aleh Misa. So I will say, ultimately, again, when it comes to Zrika, if a non-coin does this, Avod will be Chayiv Misa. Take a look at Rashi. Shekin Zar Chayiv Aleh, before you turn the page, last Rashi on the daf. Shekin Zar Chayiv Aleh Misa, Ma She'inkim B'Kmitza V'Kabbalah. I will say, interestingly enough, when it comes to Kmitza and Kabbalah, as much as a non-coin is not supposed to do it, if he did it, there is not a Chayiv Misa. Diba inon avoda tama, follow avoda shiesh achare avoda. Because we'll say in general, again, a zar is only chayiv ultimately again for doing what we call an avoda tama. In other words, a concluding avoda, but not an avoda that has itself, but not an avoda that has another avoda after it. So therefore, again, we'll say, I can't learn out kmitza and kabbalah from shchita, because shchita is unique. I can't learn out kmitza and kabbalah from zrika, because zrika, we'll say, is a type of avoda where what? where a zar, if he does, will be chayiv misa. That doesn't apply to these other avodos. We'll say amud beis. So another suggestion, tasi maybe nayo. So we'll say, maybe I could say, now you know what? I can't learn out the prohibition of doing kamitza and kabbalah outside of the Beis HaMikdash from either shchit, from either zrika, a shchita, or zrika. But maybe I can learn out from a combination of the two. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Tasi maybe naya, or maybe naya literally means from between them. Mishchita uzrika. So maybe I could learn it out, the prohibition, to do kamitza and to do kabbalah from like a combination of shchita and zrika. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, imkain, lo yomar bezrika, v'teisi minaya. So if that's the case, don't say anything by zrika, and we can learn out from between the two. V'teisi mishchita, maybe we can learn out from shchita, we can learn out from shchita, ma'ala shchita shekein nefselesh shalo l'shem ochlin bePesach. But say, ultimately, you already said before, you can't learn it out from Pesach. Why? Excuse me, you can't learn it from Shechita, because Shechita has this peculiar halacha by Karban Pesach. Sheikh Gemara says, Tesei meha'Allah. So maybe you learn it out from the prohibition, ultimately, again, to offer up Karbanos outside. Ma la'Allah, Shekin yeshnan b'mincha. But say, halah is also different. Why? Because halah, Rabbi say, applies even by a Karban Mincha. So why don't you, again, if you can't learn it out from anyone in particular, why not learn it out, Rabbi Osei, from some combination? Rabbi Osei, the pasuk goes out of its way to go ahead and articulate these concepts in order to tell you that what? We don't want you learning it out from a combination of things, but rather, again, we only want you learning it out from specific instances. Okay, I'm Rabbi Abba. So we'll say, so therefore, again, just to understand, so therefore, the halacha is that if you go ahead and you do kamitza or you do kabbalah outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you will not be chayiv for that. Again, I want to be clear, not encouraged, not good, but Lamaisa, if you did it, there is no liability. And I will say the reason for that is because in order to have liability, it has to mirror one of the cases of biblically scripted liability. If you do not resemble that case, those cases, then by definition, again, there is no biblical liability. Good. The Gemara goes weiter. I'm Rabbi Abba, we'll say another case. Shachat v'zarak. So we'll say, let's say again, a person did shechita. We'll say this is all talking about sacrificial processes which occur outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I did shechita and I did zrika. Right? Just cleared up my schedule. Right? I went and did both shechita and zrika outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The divrei Rabbi Shmuel, chayiv achos. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I am chayiv once. The divrei Rabbi Akiva, chayiv shtayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, we'll say, I will be chayiv ultimately again twice. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shachat v'zarak behelam echel Rabbi Shlosh. We'll say, Rashi, by the way, adds in the word what? Adds in the word helam. So I'm doing all of this at once. All of this at once. According to Rabbi Shmuel, I'm going to be chayiv once. Rashi says, denafka lezrika midam shafach ba'onesh shal shechita. So we'll say, ultimately, again, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, he learns out everything from shechita. Therefore, again, if I do shechita and zrika in one helam, I'm going to be chayiv once. Rabbi Akiva, I will say, who learns out from two separate sources. See, Rabbi Shmuel learns out shechita and zrika from one source, as you saw in Amud Aleph. So if you do them in one he'elam, one
event.
Good. One event, right? Then ultimately I'm going to be chayiv once. According to Rabbi Akiva, I'm going to be chayiv twice. So also you'll say to yourself, I don't understand. If shchut echutz is kares, so what does it matter if you're chayiv once or twice? How many times can one poor guy get kares? So we'll say it matters. Why? Why? Because we'll say ultimately again, remember, what do you get for kares? You get malchus. Beis din is malchus for kares. So we'll say, right? Because remember again, kares is a mis, is a din bidei shemayim, but beis din, so we'll say, so there is an achimina, whether you're going to get one set of malchus or two sets of malchus. So we'll say, so next damakra, so Abaye says, afilo div Rabbi Akiva, Einu chayiv alachas. Abaye says, no, even according to Rabbi Akiva, you will only be chayiv once. Damar kra, because the pasuk says, Sham ta'aseh ha'kasav asan kulakulan avoda achos. Ultimately, they will say, the pasuk says, Ki b'makom asher yivchar Hashem b'achat shevatecha, Sham ta'ala olosecha, V'sham ta'aseh kol asher anochi mitzavecha. So we'll say, so Abaye says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk groups all activities, all sacrificial activities done outside into one event, and therefore, even according to Rabbi Akiva, you'll only be chayiv once. Fine. Next, zarak v'hala. Well, so what happens if he did zrika? Let's say in this case, shechita was done inside, but zrika and ha'ala, and the offering of the carbon, the actual burning of the carbon, the offering of the carbon, was done outside. So we'll say here, I built the mizbeach outside of the basement of Shabama, so now I'm doing zrika on my bama, and I'm offering up the carbon on my bama. What's the halacha? So, divrei bishmol chayiv shayim, according to bishmol, you chayiv twice, once for the zrika, once for the ha'ala. Divrei Rabbi Akiva inu chayiv alacha. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva, as we've seen already, really learns out all acts of outside sacrificial service from one source. If you only be chayiv achas, Abayim Abayim says, "Filter Rabbi Akiva chayiv shtayim." Also, Abayim says, in this case, even Rabbi Akiva will say that you chayiv twice. Lahachi palagin hu kra, because it will say here the pasuk itself differentiated sham tale v'sham saasa. We'll say the pasuk itself differentiates between asiya and ha'alah. We assume that asiya is a reference to what? Zrika. And ha'alah is a reference to what? Burning. So the fact that the pasuk itself articulates this separately tells me that I will be chayiv twice, one for zrika, one for ha'alah. Next, shachat v'zarak v'ha'ala. So as you see, we're doing, we're building on in this case. Now let's say we'll call him Reuven. Reuven does shechita, zrika, and ha'alah, all outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the extent of his liability? The divrei akol chayiv shtayim. We'll say, granted everyone, he will ultimately again be chayiv twice. Tan rabbanon. So we'll say, the pasuk says as follows. B'machana, the pasuk says b'machana, yachal ha-shochet ola b'dar miyechayiv. So we'll say, listen to this. So the pasuk talks about the obligation and shecht inside of the machana, and or I should say, the prohibition to shecht outside of the machana. So we'll say, so the shayla is, we're going to now clear this a little bit. What is the nature of the prohibition of shchutei chutz? How far do we take this? So what we clearly know is, if you shecht outside of the Beis HaMikdash, of course you're going to be chayiv. But we'll say, what happens if you're shechting inside the Beis HaMikdash, but you're just shechting in the wrong place? As we've seen already, different karbanos had different types of locations. Inside the Beis HaMikdash itself, where the shechita was supposed to take place. Let's say, for example, yachol hashochet ola v'dar miyei chayiv. But say, what happens if a person shechts an ola in the south of the courtyard, which we'll say ultimately again is the wrong location for the ola? I might have thought it would be chayiv. Tamulomar al michutz lamachane. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says no. If you're shechting in the wrong place in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, not good. Not good. You're shechting in the right place, but that's kosher. That's not called shchutei chutz. That's not called shchutei chutz. Tamulomar al michutz lamachane. Yochol chutz l'shalosh machanos. I might have thought that I'm only chayiv if I shecht ultimately again outside of all three machanos. Minayin af b'machana levia. But say ultimately again, how do I know that even about say if I shecht outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but I'm still in machana levia, that I'm also going to be chayiv? Tamulor b'machana. Therefore, I will say the pasuk says in the camp, i.e., even if you don't go outside of all three camps, but you just go outside of machana shechina and you're shechting in machana levia, you'll also be chayiv. Even machana Yochal hashochet ola b'dar miyechayiv. If that's the case, I might have thought that if I shecht an ola in the south of the courtyard, it would be chayiv. Tamad lomar o al michutz lamachana. Machutz lamachana miyuchad shein roi l'shchitas kachim u l'shchitas kol zevach. But I say, what does michutz lamachana mean? It means you're shechting it out in outs. You're shechting it in a place that is not fit for sacrificial service. Yatsa darom. Therefore, we'll say this comes to exclude if a person shechts an ola in the south of the courtyard. Shafapi shein roi l'shchitas kachim, even the south of the courtyard is not fit for general shchitas kachim. Roi l'shchitas kachim kalim. Kachim kadoshim, excuse me. Even though we'll say the south of the Beis HaMikdash, south of the courtyard, is not the place where you normally shecht kachim kadoshim, but it is fit for kachim kalim, and therefore again, we'll say it's not called michutz l'machane. Good. Weiter. So we'll say that by the way, that is a very important halacha, that the concept of shchutei chutz, we'll say, literally means outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, shechting something in the wrong place in the Beis HaMikdash might be wrong, it might be illegal, and even in certain circumstances will invalidate the karban, but does not qualify as shchutei chutz. Very important halacha. Amar Ula, hashochet al gago shel eichar. Let's listen to this interesting case. If a person goes out and shechts on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, shechts on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Chayiv. Ultimately, again, a person will be chayiv. Hoyel vein roin l'shchei bosei. Now this is interesting. So now what did we just get finished saying? We just got finished saying bosei that if you go ahead, let's say for argument's sake, you're not supposed to shecht kodshei kadoshim in the south of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If you did so, it's not called shchutei chutz. What happens now if I shecht on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash? On the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So I say, why is this an interesting case? I'm inside the Beis HaMikdash. I'm in the Beis HaMikdash. But again, I'm not at the place where karbanos are normally shechted. What's the status of such a karban? Sa shochet al gago shel heichal chayiv. What's your chayiv? Your chayiv for what? Shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz, why? Hoil ve'in roi l'shchitas kol zevach. Because Yerba say, when I shecht kodshei kadoshim in the south of the courtyard, even though, again, that's not the place, for offering up kodshei kadoshim, but it is what? The place for kodshim kalim. When you shecht on the roof of the basement, the Shabbos say, nothing is shechted on the roof. That is not the place for shechita of karbanos. Therefore, again, that is the din of shechutei chutz. Maskif la Rava. So Rava says, one second. Imke nichtov kra, al michutz la machane, velo boi al pesach o amoid. So, al pesach o amoid lamali. So we'll say, why do I, if that's the case, then ultimately, again, why do I need that phrase? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Oyer nichtov krav machana la michutz la machana, chutz la miuti ola b'darm." So, the Gemara essentially asks, "Why do I need the phrase? Let it just say al michutz la machana, and I don't need the phrase al pesach o al moed." So, the Gemara says, "Lav la miuti gago." We'll say it must be al pesach o al moed comes to exclude what? One who shechts on the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash. So, the Gemara says, "B'machana v'al michutz la machana lamali." So, we'll say, why do I need these phrases? Of machana and michutz la machana, lav la asuye gago. Does that not come to include the case of what? One who shechts on the rooftop. Rav Mari. Rav Mari says no. He says la asuye kula bifnim v'tzavara b'chutz. So he actually says it comes to include something else. So we'll say. So by the way, everyone is coming to include. Everyone is coming ultimately again to explain the mi'ute gago. Everyone is accepting this exclusion that Allah alamaisa, if you shecht on the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash, in fact, that is going to go ahead and be considered shchutei chutz. What the Rabbis say wondering is why do I need all these additional phrases? I'll tell you what it comes to include. La suye kula b'chutz. For say comes to include the following case. This is actually a fascinating idea. Comes to include kula b'chutz. The entire animal is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, v'tzavara bifnim. And ultimately, again, its neck is on the inside. So we'll say, this is where the entire animal is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but the neck is inside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that this is called what? That even this case is called shchutei. I skipped. Amra Mari Vasuye. Let me go back a few lines. Kula bifnim b'tzavara b'chutz. Both said this comes to include what kind of case? Where the entire animal, the body of the animal is inside the Beis HaMikdash, but the neck is outside. So the Gemara says the neck is outside. Tzavara b'chutz pshita. Both say obviously if the neck is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then of course that's called shchutei chutz. Why is it called shchutei chutz? Amai kapad rachmona. We'll say, what is the Torah focusing on over here? Ashchita. We'll say, the truth is, again, remember, when it comes to shchutei chutz, we'll say the prohibition is what? The shechting the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we'll say, I don't care where the body is. If the neck where the shchita takes place is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then what? It's going to be called shchutei chutz. Ushchita b'chutz. See, Eller, we'll say, rather, what does it come to include? Kula b'chutz v'tzavar b'fnei. We'll say, this is wild. And this is not only is it wild, but it's halacha lemaisa. We'll say, if you have an animal where the entire body is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but what? The neck is inside. This is still called shchutei chutz. Still called shchutei chutz. We'll say, even the actual act of shchita is going to occur inside the Beis HaMikdash because the neck of the animal is inside the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, what? It is still called shchutei chutz. We'll say, that is indeed halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, a number of interesting pieces of halacha lemaisa. Number one, if you shecht on the rooftop of the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha rabosai? Shchutei chutz. Shchutei chutz. Why? Because there is no such case of sacrificial service that occurs on the rooftop. You have an animal, again, rabosai, where the entire body is outside of the Beis HaMikdash and the neck is inside the Beis HaMikdash and you shecht it. What is that called? Shchut Echutz. We'll say that's the novelty. And the Gemara seems to learn that out over here based on Xeris HaKosov. We'll say another case. Now here we, this again gets very interesting. Itmar. Hamala Bizmanaza. So we'll say now we come to some contemporary issues. Let's say again, we'll say Hamala Bizmanaza. What's the case here? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Hamala Bizmanaza. Three lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Bachutz. We'll say the case over here, we'll say, listen to this. Let's say I shecht a karban outside of the Makom HaMikdash today. So am I chayiv or not? So we'll say, you know what the Gemara is asking over here? Are you chayiv for Shchut Echutz today? I go home. I go home, it's a beautiful day. Mamish Baruch Hashem, no rain. I want to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I tell them, make it a family initiative. Kids, let's build a bama. We offer up a karban. So wonderful, only one problem. I just realized, am I chayiv for Shchut Echutz? Am I chayiv for shechting a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash or not? Shabbos says, so again, by the way, this is a real kasha. This is a real kasha. I want to offer up a karban today, but now I just realize, am I chayiv for Shchut Echutz? So we'll say, here we go. So the Gemara says, Itmar, hamala bizman hazeh. If someone offers up a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash today, so Rabbi Yochanan amr chayiv, Rabbi Yochanan says, I am chayiv, Rabbi will say, Rish Lakish amr potter, Rish Lakish amr potter, Rabbi Yochanan amr chayiv, one simple reason. Kiddusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Vikitchel Asar. We'll say Rabbi Yochanan says, Mechayiv. Why? Because the Makum HaMikdash is still sanctified. We'll say, and this is very important halacha. Rabbi Yochanan holds that when the Makum HaMikdash was sanctified, that sanctification is eternal. Not only is it eternal, but it is independent of what? It is independent of what? The actual existence of a Beis HaMikdash. I do not need a Beis HaMikdash for the Harabayis to be sanctified. When the first Shlomo Melech sanctifies the first Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech sanctifies the Harabayis, that Kiddush Rabbi Osei is eternal. Now remember, that has a dual ramification. Ramification of what Rabbi Osei is, that's what? That you could offer up Karbanos today on the site of the Beis HaMikdash, ignoring the political realities of that. Right? You could offer up Karbanos today on the site of the Harabayis, and what? Means it is usher to offer up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. See, if you hold Kiddusha Rishon and Kiddusha Shai to the Kiddusha Aslava, that means the Harabayis has sacrificial sanctity to this very day. I can offer up karbanos on the Harabayis, and therefore I cannot offer up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And if I do so, I am chayiv. Rish Lakish says, no, I'm potter. I could offer up karbanos in my backyard. You know why? Kiddusha Rishon and Kiddusha Shai to the Kiddusha Aslava. Rish Lakish holds that the sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash Rabbi Osei was not eternal. The sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash Rabbi Osei is rooted in the existence of a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, again, the Beis HaMikdash stands Harabayis is Kadosh, but the Kiddusha is not eternal. Therefore, if you were to offer up a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash or the Harabayis today, the halacha would be that what? You would not be chayiv. You would not be chayiv. We'll say fundamental machlokas. Name of the plukta, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehoshua, Kamei Fligis. We'll say it must be that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing ultimately again in the same machlokes of Rabbi Yehoshua. This nun, our Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehoshua. I'm Rabbi Eliezer. But listen to this, it's really fascinating. Kishay bonin behechol, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, hayu osim kilayim behechol, kilayim ba'azah. So both say, so remember again, the Beis HaMikdash was comprised of two parts. It's really three parts, but for our purposes, it's two parts. There's the Heichel. We'll say the Heichel refers to what we call the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Heichal, again, remember, you had the Ulam, which was the antechamber. You had the Kodesh, which is where you had like the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar for incense, the menorah, the Shulchan, curtain, and then Kodesh Kadoshim. The Chatzar, Rabbi Osei, is the courtyard. So it says, the Gemara Belezer says, that when they built the Heichal, they had put up curtains first, right? Kilayim Bazars. And so Rabbi Osei, what they did is, they demarcated where the Beis HaMikdash was going to be. How? With curtains. With curtains. Ella, Rabbi Osei, what was the distinction? Here we go. Shebeheichol bonin mibachot. Rabbi Osei, listen to this, is really fascinating. When they built the Heichal, they built the structure of the Heichal outside of the curtains. Right? Outside of the curtains. So they didn't go inside the curtains. They built outside the curtains. Uba'azara bonin mibifnim. But for the courtyard, they built the actual walls inside the curtains. Amr Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati, Shem makrivin afa pi shem bayis. Rabbi Yeshua says, I heard that they used to offer karbanos even in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. V'ochlim kodshei kadoshim, afa pi shein kilayim. and they would eat Kodesh Kodashim, even though, again, there were no walls, no curtains of the Beis HaMikdash, and Kodeshim Kalam HaMaiser Sheni, second wide line of Bosai, and they would eat Kodesh Kalam HaMaiser Sheni, Afa Pishen Choma, even though there was no wall of Yerushalayim. Why? Mipnei Shekedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita, the Kitcha L'Asilo. So what's it? Bisho comes along and says, I heard that even when there were no walls of the Beis HaMikdash, even when there were no walls, ultimately, again, of Yerushalayim, ultimately, again, they were eating karbonos. Why? Because Kiddusha Rishon and Kiddusha L'Shaita, the Kiddusha L'Asav. Because they both say, the Kiddusha, the first Beis HaMikdash, the Kiddusha that began with the first Beis HaMikdash. And by the way, I want to point out, if you hold Kiddusha Rishon and Kiddusha L'Shaita, the Kiddusha L'Asav, I'll tell you something amazing. It comes even before the Beis HaMikdash. It's quite possible that it comes at the time that David HaMelech sanctified the ground. From the moment that David HaMelech sanctified it, ultimately again as the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash, then ultimately again, that's Machlokis in of itself. Is it from David? Is it from Shlomo? We're not really worried about that. For our purpose, what it tells you is, from the time that ultimately it was sanctified first for the first Beis HaMikdash, that Kiddusha is eternal. Which means even in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash now, you could still offer up karbanos there, and you could still eat karbanos there. Now we'll say, now on the flip side, what does that mean? If you could offer up karbanos there and eat karbanos there, then what? Then you can't offer up karbanos anywhere else, and if you do so, you are in violation of Shchut Eichotz. Now we'll say, listen to this. Now this is Rabbi Yeshua's statement. Lav Michlad Rabbi Eliezer Savar Lo Kitcha. So we'll say, we would assume that if Rabbi Yeshua is saying that again, Kiddusha Rishon Kitcha Shaita Mikitcha Lassad Lava means Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold this. Which Rabbi Yeshua then means that the Machlokis Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is really the same Machlokis of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, to which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Only Rabbi Yino, the Rabbi Hashim, Mimai. Not necessarily. It could be Dilma, the Choli Amma Kiddusha Rishon Kitcha Shaita Mikitcha Lassad Lava. It could be Rabbi Yeshua that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both hold. That's what? That the initial Kiddusha of the Makom HaMikdash is eternal. And simply, Umar Mai Deshmiya LeKamar, Umar Mai Deshmiya LeKamar. And I will say, simply, they're both just relating what they heard. In other words, they're just actually retelling information, Lav Dafka, that they are conveying their respective halachic positions. V'chitema, Kilayim Rabbi Eliezer Lamli. And I will say, furthermore, again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why would you ultimately need the kilayim at all? Why would you need the curtains? Let's new sava'ama. But it's quite possible, ultimately, again, that even if you hold that the curtains did not go ahead and convey or create any type of kiddusha samakum, they were necessary ultimately again for tznius purposes. In other words, I will say that for the Beis HaMikdash, there's a concept of tznius, which is that the avoda should be something done in private. The avoda is not necessarily a public spectacle, it's done ultimately in private. So I will say, so I just want to point out over here, so what you see is something very interesting. So this machlokes, obviously between Rabbi, so I just wanted, let me just, so we wanted to align the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That didn't work out, because it's possible that Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua both agree that Kiddusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. So leaving them aside, we still do have the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what happens, again, their machlokes is, what happens if you offer up karbanos today outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Yochanan will say that you are chayiv. Reish Lakish says that you are pater. Rabbi Yochanan says that you are chayiv. Why? Because Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, the Kiddusha of the Makom HaMikdash Shabbos is eternal, and therefore, again, Allah HaMaisi, if you offer up a carbon outside today, you are chayiv for Shchut Eichotz. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish says, no, the Kiddusha of the Har HaBayis Shabbos only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash sitting there. That if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there is no Kiddusha Samakom. Shabbos say, you should know the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. Rambam Paskins, that Kiddusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, which is very important. We'll say this is the famous Shita Sarambam. Therefore, according to the Rambam, if you want to offer up karbanos today on the Har HaBayis, you could absolutely do so. Shabbos say, I'll tell you something very interesting, comes up in the poskim. That's why there are many Rishonim and Achronim who held, you know, it's everyone flocks to Yerushalayim for Pesach, but there are many Rishonim and hold who held that what? Dafka, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, you should dafka leave Yerushalayim. Come to Baltimore for Pesach. Right? I will say, you should dafka leave Yerushalayim for Pesach. Why? Why? Because I will say, if you hold Kiddusha Rishona Kiddusha L'Shaita V'Kiddusha L'Asid Lavo, that means you can offer up karbanos. If you can offer up karbanos, it's quite possible that what? You have to offer up karbanos, which means that there is a din of Korban Pesach. If there's a din of Korban Pesach, then what? If you're there, you have to do it. If you don't do it, you actually create halachic issues. So there were many who dafka were makbid to leave Yerushalayim, ultimately dafka for Pesach. Now that is a minority opinion. Because again, I will say it's not pashid. Even if you hold kedusha rishona kitzel shadid kitzel lasid lavo, many understand that. What is that? That's a license to offer up karbanos. The obligation only devolves upon us when there is an actual Beis HaMikdash. But I just want to point out, the Rambam does in fact paskin that kedusha rishona kitzel shadid kitzel lasid lavo. That means the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is eternal. Which means I will say that's what. Sorry, scratch your plans for today. Do not build that backyard bama. Sorry. Do not offer up that carbon with the family. Right? Why? Because at least according to Shita Sarambam, if you do so, one will actually be in violation of Shchutei Chutz. Now, whether or not there's a Chiyuv Kares in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash is also subject to dispute, but either way, it's not going to be good. I will say, but that is Shita Sarambam, that Kiddush Rishon Kiddush Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. We'll say, it's just one more piece and we'll stop for today. Itmar. I'm sorry? So in order to go ahead and offer up, even according to Rambam holds that you could offer up karbanos in the Beis on the Harabais today, you would need a paraduma. You need a paraduma, correct? You'd absolutely need a paraduma. So it says the Yimar, Itzmar, Hama'ala ve'in bo kizayis. One more. Now, totally new topic. Totally new topic. But so listen to this. Everyone agrees, although we did not state this explicitly, that in order to be chayiv for offering up a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a kezias of sacrificial meat. If you offer up less than a kezias, you are not chayif for ha'alah, for offering up a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So listen to this interesting case. Hamale ve'in bo kezias ve'etzem mashlimo lekezias. So listen to this fascinating, riveting case. There's a kezias. There's only one problem. It's not a kezias of meat. It only becomes a kezias with what? With the bone. So if you add the bone to the meat, you have a kezias. But it's not an independent kezias of meat. So we'll say, are you chayiv in such a case for ha'alah, for offering up the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're chayiv. Reish Lakish Amar Potter. Reish Lakish says, you're Potter. What are they arguing about? Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayiv, chibure olin ke olin dami. So we'll say, essentially, Rabbi Yochanan says, anything attached to the meat is part of the meat. Right? So the bone is attached to the meat, and therefore it's part of the meat. Reish Lakish Amar Potter, chiburi olin lav ke olin dami. We'll say, Reish Lakish says, you're Potter. Why? Just because it's attached to the meat doesn't automatically make it part of the meat, and therefore again he's going to say that you are going to be Potter. We'll say, the Rama Paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan, namely again, that when looking for the kezias, ultimately we are mitstarif the volume of the bone to the meat as well, and therefore even if the combined kezias, even if you don't have independent kezias of meat, but it's only kezias together with the bone, ultimately again you will be chayiv. We'll say we'll stop over here. Shigoyach. We'll say, just a reminder, we have a beautiful upcoming Gala Siyum on August 11th. Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Elul. This is going to be the collective Siyum for every single Masechta since Avodah Zarah, right? Which is where we're a little bit delinquent in our Siyumim. So this is going to be everything from Avodah Zarah through Menachos. It's mamish going to be the Siyum of the century. Right? It's going to be, again, August 11th. And again, it's a beautiful way also. It's during the summer. It's for the Mishpachos. It's for everyone together. It's going to be a luncheon following davening on that Shabbos. That is also Shabbos Mevarachim Chodesh Elul. A very special Halig Shabbos that we're going to get to celebrate our accomplishments and begin to lay the groundwork. We begin Zvachim, sorry. We begin Menachos. Did I say Menachos? I'm excited about Menachos. Right? We're Messiahim Zvachim. We begin Menachos that Sunday, I believe it begins Rosh Chodesh. We'll say we need RSVPs to know if the Emirat Hashem is going to be a Dover Shabbat Yolam. If you have not yet signed up but would like to participate, you could see Saeed. He even has his credit card swiper here. You can just tell him if you want to come. We'll say please let him know, or again we'll put it out on the WhatsApp as well.
If they're saying that this is Kitchen Rishona and that you'd spill